I just want you to know that every one of us here is valuable enough. I feel like if the Lord give us a little message, I want you to know that we're valuable enough for me to share it with you, whether there's two of us here or the whole house is full. So I just want you to be encouraged, and I don't want you to feel overstressed by the enemy. You know, he wants us to go around and do a lot of counting and becoming discouraged for one thing or another. But thought I might share these thoughts this morning, and then felt directed to go another way. So maybe this is the time that we would share this burden. I'd like to think about a phrase that I've found multiple times in the scripture. I'll write it up here on the board. If thou wilt. It's used in a lot of situations. A lot of the situations is an interaction between people, two people. The Lord used it directing some of his words and all to individuals. And also there were some that sometimes that individuals said these words to the Lord, to Jesus actually. And so I'd like to begin over here in Genesis, the 13th chapter. We're going to notice a setting here where it was Jacob. Well, no, not Genesis 13 was Abraham. Abraham and Lot had their operations had increased and expanded, and livestock and what had started out as I'm just going to say it like this, a family farm had become quite a livestock operation. And it got to the point that they had servants, and the servants were having conflict with one another because they were all trying to run their flocks and herds collectively, and Abraham and Lot realized that they needed to do something about this, to decrease conflict and that kind of thing. So in Genesis, the 13th chapter, we'll start in maybe verse 5. It says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." So he says here, "If thou wilt." If thou wilt is in the ninth verse. He said, I'll read it again. He said, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I'll go to the left." So, if thou wilt, we are, when we say that, if we was to say that, we would be giving the other person the opportunity or the option to exercise a right of choice. Okay? So if I said, "If thou wilt," we can have services at a different time. If thou wilt, we can make an adjustment to whatever it might be that's on the table. But the point I want us to get here is this phrase is conveying from one person to the other. If we think of Abraham and Lot, Abraham being, my understanding is, older than Lot. He was an uncle to Lot. And he said to Lot, if thou wilt, generally speaking, the person that is older is the one that's going to be given the younger person the option or the opportunity to exercise a choice when maybe the younger person didn't feel like they had the right or the privilege. So I just kind of want to set this stage or this opportunity for us to realize that Abraham was telling Lot, I'm going to let you make the choice. I'm empowering you to make a choice. If thou wilt, if you choose, you can choose to go this way or you can choose to go that way. And we know that Lot chose to go down in the Jordan River Valley, or plains it calls it. And it says, I was reading here and I noticed that in the 10th verse, we'll read one more verse. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. So this area that he chose to go towards looked like or similar to what we call the Garden of Eden. It was fertile. It was productive. And Lot chose that direction. Abraham gave him that opportunity. Now I'd like to turn to Genesis, the 30th chapter. And now we're going to read about another setting between two individuals. And this setting is talking about in 30 and 31. It's talking about Jacob dealing with his father-in-law Laban. And maybe we'll start we'll read starting in verse 25. It says, then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Now skip down to verse 29. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, but the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen? My God, I'm in the wrong chapter. I apologize. I want to be in the 30th chapter. It's still talking about the same people, but we're in the wrong chapter. Here again, I want to start the 25th verse. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go into mine own place, into my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and is now increased into a multitude. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own house also? And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. So here again we see this phrase, if thou wilt. He's empowering Laban to make a choice. And the situation here, if I'll just refresh our memory very briefly, Laban had two daughters, Rachel and Leah. And he really didn't treat Jacob very fairly. Jacob had wanted to marry Rachel, and he somehow tricked him into marrying Leah. And then he worked another 7 years to earn the right to have Rachel for his wife also. He'd worked for him over 14 years. I think it was closer to 20. And he wanted to go home and take his families and go to his place where his family and his inheritance was. And so this was the situation. And Laban realized that when Jacob had the oversight of his livestock, that they multiplied and everything had done so well. And he says, Jacob, I just want you to stay a little longer. So Jacob said, okay, I will, but here's a choice that I want you to make. I'll stay under these conditions, but it has to be because you want this, if thou wilt, you see. It's an agreement between two people, but he's empowering Laban to make the choice. And we know what the deal was, that Jacob got all of the cattle that were splotchety and striped and spotted. They weren't all the solid color animals. Was going to be his father-in-law's, and if it had funny-looking markings on them, they were going to be Jacob's. I'm sorry. So I read these two accounts just for us to get a little bit of a handle on what it means when they use this phrase, if thou wilt, empowering someone else to make a choice. It's not that the one making the choice was making a choice for their own personal welfare. Okay? So if someone says to us, if thou wilt, many times the choice we make is going to be a determining factor for our own welfare, our own benefit, or our own distress. All right? I want us to keep that in mind. So now I'd like to go to 1 Samuel, the first chapter. And we have a setting here where maybe we'll read a few verses. Maybe we'll start in verse 1, it says, now there was a certain man of Ramoth. Maybe I shouldn't have started in verse 1. there was a certain man of Ramathaim-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. And unto Aunt Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, most likely, according to the commentators, this adversary was the other wife, Peninnah. Now, it was a very great disgrace or undesirable situation for a wife to not be able to have children amongst the Israelites at this time. So, her adversary, this other wife, was provoking her because she didn't have any children. And as he did so, still talking about this other wife, so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. And it wasn't so much that she was so distressed she didn't have an appetite, which could have been a factor. But when they were in mourning, they were not to eat the food that was it was like the food during this time when they went up to sacrifice was considered holy, and it was irreverent for them to eat if they were in mourning. So there's a pretty complicated setting here. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt, here's a phrase. And she's asking something of the Lord, and says, if thou wilt, if you will choose, if you... And she starts beginning to give the conditions. If thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor, and shall no razor come upon his head. So Hannah was... There's more to this story, but we're just going to stop there. Hannah was in great distress, and she wanted something with all of her heart. And she said, Lord, if thou wilt, if you will do this, this is the bargain I'll make. I will give him back to you, and he will serve you the rest of his life. Now, the priests were the Levites. They were to serve the Lord exclusively in temple worship from the time they were 25 years old until the time that they were 50. But it appears in this story that Hannah was willing to do more than that. All right? And we know that Hannah had, remember her son's name? Samuel. Samuel was the little boy that when he came to the temple, he heard the Lord speaking and he thought it was Eli. So Hannah was willing to give more than just the 25 to 50 age bracket. I'm willing to give you for all of his life. But Lord, I want a son so bad. If thou wilt, I will do this. There's an agreement here going on. If you will, Lord. And the Lord heard her cry, gave her a son. The scripture says that when he was weaned, and I don't know exactly what age that was, but I believe he was a little boy that could take care of his own personal needs to a great extent. She brought him back to the temple. And every year she would come and bring him a new change of clothing or a coat. And Hannah supported him. And she kept true to her vow to give her son back to the Lord. And the Lord, obviously, was willing. So now I want us to look at, this was a person speaking to the Lord. And saying, Lord, if thou wilt. Now I'd like to look at a setting where God spoke to a man. I'd like to go to 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter. And I want us to try to get a hold of how important it is for us when God speaks to us and says, if thou wilt, how important it is for us to listen. There was a reward for God, if you want to think of it that way, for Hannah to promise her son back to him. But you know, the Lord could have possibly use somebody else. But Hannah was a woman true to her word, and she followed through with that. And it is so important when the Lord speaks to us and says to us, if thou wilt, for us to follow through. So let's look in 1 Kings. I'll try to emphasize this a little bit. 1 Kings 3 and 14. Maybe we'll start a little bit before this. Solomon had become king, David's son, and one of his desires was that the Lord would give him wisdom to be able to be a good and proper king. So we'll start reading in the 12th verse, and it says, this is the Lord, or God, speaking to Solomon. He says, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt, here's that phrase again, and if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. So the condition is, God speaking to Solomon, and he said, if thou wilt, if you will follow what? If you will walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments, if you will follow the course of life that I have prescribed for you, and if you will follow the path that I desire for you to follow, he says, then I will lengthen my days. I will cause you to enjoy the blessing of a really long life. If, he says, if thou wilt walk in my ways. You know, I can't think, you know, sometimes we look on and say someone was really set up to be successful in life. You know, we think maybe someone had a perfect childhood, they inherited something that set them in a position financially or in a social status or academically or whatever it was. You know, we see little children that are raised in a home where the parents are studious and they're always helping them to learn and to reading to them and cultivating their little minds and helping them to gain understanding. And I think all of that's good. And many times we look on and say, if anybody should be successful, then these people ought to be. But it's not a guarantee to success, is it? Many times, that person that comes on, that younger generation, makes a choice that don't take them down the right path. So God was speaking to Solomon, and he said here, if you'll do it, I'll lengthen your days. Did Solomon do it? Not for very long. So let's read another verse. In 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, God speaking to Solomon again. Not only had Solomon become the king, and God had blessed him with wisdom and riches and everything else that a king could hope to have, but he was commissioned to build the temple, Solomon's temple, as history will tell us. And it said in the 9th verse beginning, it says, so he built the house and finished it and covered the house with beams and boards of cedar. And then he built chambers against all the house, 5 cubits high, and they rested on the house with timbers of cedar. And the word of the Lord came unto Solomon, saying, concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto thy father David. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the house and finished it. He was not only a planner, he was not only someone that got things together, but he finished the job. It was complete. It was totally done. And God said to Solomon, not only if you'll finish the house, but if you will follow my commandments, if you'll follow my statutes, if you'll execute my judgments, if you will use your wisdom to promote my cause, then I will follow through with what I promised David. What did he promise David? He promised David that he would establish his lineage to be the king over all of Israel perpetually. That's what he had promised him. If thou wilt. Now let's go to the 9th chapter and the 14th verse. Our 4th verse is where we're going to read, reading down from verse 1. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do. So beyond the temple, he built a palace for himself, and he built a lot of other things. Some people feel like that Solomon had a big, we'd call it a horse barn. It was a stable for lots of chariots and horses. And he built a lot of magnificent things around Jerusalem. Don't know if we have as many details in history or in the scripture as maybe someplace like Josephus or maybe other ancient histories would give us an account. But Solomon built a lot of things. And after he'd done all of this, it says that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he'd appeared unto him in Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I've heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. I will transfer this promise from David to you. But you have to follow, if thou wilt, he says, walk before me as David thy father did. If you'll be faithful, if you'll execute my judgments, if you'll follow my statutes, you know, the Lord found himself in a place that he couldn't fully continue the promise because Solomon chose not to. But remember, this phrase, if thou wilt, is empowering the one that it's said to make a choice. When we started, we was talking about Abraham, and he empowered Lot to make a choice, didn't he? And Lot made a choice. And ultimately, the choice he made and how he exercised himself in that choice, it brought him to destruction, didn't it? Lot went in from that part of making that decision. He was, by the status of his peers, he would probably have been considered fairly wealthy. But he left Sodom and Gomorrah with the clothes on his back, and 2 daughters. That's all he got out of the deal. But he made that, he was empowered and he made a choice. Jacob empowered Laban to make a choice. And Laban made a choice. And did you know, because he made that choice and he wasn't willing to let Jacob go just of his own accord, Laban lost the best bloodline of his herd. over a period of years. God empowered Solomon to make a choice. And Solomon didn't make the right choice. Many times, mankind has been faced with the opportunity and been empowered to make a choice, and they didn't make the right choice. And because they made a wrong choice or a less than wise choice, it ended up costing them dearly. Solomon ended up. Some people feel that Proverbs and Ecclesiastes were written at the tail end of Solomon's life. I don't know when they were written. But when we read Ecclesiastes where he says, vanity of vanities, all of vanity. And sometimes it's like Solomon was looking back on all of the bad choices that he made. And he was trying to leave something written down for another generation, all the way down to us, to help us stay on the right path. But God empowered him to make a choice. And Solomon was not true. He did not hold true to keeping God's statutes, and it cost him dearly. The kingdom was divided. So now I want us to turn over to the New Testament, and I want us to notice a couple passages. Matthew, the 19th chapter, we have the parable of the rich young ruler. And this parable is a little story that Jesus told about someone. Very likely it could have been a very real person. But it teaches us an example it paints a real vivid picture. Matthew 19, and we want to read verse 16 beginning. And behold, one came unto him and said, Good master. I'm sorry, this is not a parable. This is an actual, I said that wrong. This is an actual account of someone coming to Jesus. And behold, one came unto him and said, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Does this sound familiar? It sounds very similar to what God told Solomon, isn't it? And Jesus here was speaking to this rich young ruler, and he said, if you will enter into life, do you think he was talking about just living and breathing and eating and having a prosperous life? I think he was talking about something more than that. I think he was talking about a spiritual, rewarding relationship with our Creator. He said, if thou wilt enter into life, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. There's the condition. Solomon, if you will keep execute the judgment and keep the commandments and follow my guide, keep my statutes and all of those things, God's going to bless you. You're going to have a long life. The kingdom is going to be established through your lineage perpetually. That's my word, maybe. But he said here to this man, he said, if you'll keep the commandments, if you'll make that choice, you'll experience spiritual life. 18, he says, and he said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? I believe Jesus knew that already. But the young man, he said, I've done all of that. But he still felt a need of something, didn't he? Because he said, Good master, in verse 16, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He was interested in a spiritual rebirth in the life that Jesus was preaching about and talking about. Jesus said to him, if thou wilt, here we go again, It's a empowering him to make a choice. If thou wilt be perfect, what are you going to have to do? If you want it, here's the conditions. He said, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Did he do it? Unfortunately, he didn't. This next verse says, the young man saith unto him, But when the young man had heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus said, if thou wilt, if you want eternal life, if you want to enter in and have the joys of salvation, there's something in you that you're going to have to get cleared up. And here's what it is. And the young man went away sorrowful. He just couldn't meet the conditions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. We don't have any record of this young man coming around and meeting God in peace. But he could have. He'd been empowered with a choice. He'd been given the opportunity, if thou wilt, if you will. In Mark, the third chapter, we notice here Jesus speaking again. Mark 3 and 35, maybe starting in verse 31. There came unto him, came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling. Jesus was in the synagogue here, and he was doing some teaching, and he met some opposition there, but said his mother and his brother came, and they were on the outside, and they sent a messenger in and was calling for him. And the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them and saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked around about on them that said about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my mother and my sister and my mother. Whosoever will, whosoever shall do the will of God. Whosoever shall do the will of God. It's a choice. It's a commitment that we have to make. It's a place that we have to come to when the opportunity is set before us. And we are empowered. What are we going to do with it? What decision am I going to make? He says, whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is going to be my immediate family. You know, there are situations in life where only the immediate family is allowed to enter. Only the immediate family is included. Only the immediate family is the ones. And that's what he says. If you want to be my immediate family, it's going to be whosoever shall do the will of God. Solomon, if thou wilt, follow my statutes, execute my judgments. If you'll follow my commands, there's going to be great blessings for you. Jesus said here, if thou wilt, that's the phrase we're talking, didn't use exactly those words, but if you'll do it, if you will follow the will of God, then you'll be my immediate family. You'll be in the inner circle. You'll have the closest fellowship with me, but we have to exercise the power of choice here. God's Spirit is calling and He's pleading for us in every step of our life. If thou wilt, you can eat the good of the land. You go along life a little bit and Here we're faced with a decision. Which way are we going to go? What are we going to choose to do? What are we going to choose to put in our life? If thou wilt choose the right thing, the blessings of the Lord will go with you. But if we do like Solomon, if we do like the rich young ruler, we won't make the right choice. But we don't have to do that. I believe the gospel empowers us to make good choices. I believe we are equipped with a keen mind. We are empowered with the ability to choose. And God has come along and His grace has reached out to us. It's His favor that has reached out and dealt with our hearts and our spirits. And He will continue to do that. When we come up to those hard places in life, His Spirit is going to be there and He's going to be saying to us, if thou wilt, if thou wilt. If you will, here's the reward. You're going to be my immediate family. You'll have my blessings. You'll have my approval. You'll have peace in your life and in your heart. And then we have to make that choice. Just like these people had the choice, we have the choice too. Revelations 22 and verse 17. One of the last verses in the Bible. Verse 16 beginning, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst that come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So I just want us to realize, as we come to all of those crossroads in our life, God is there for us. He'll be there for us. But we have to exercise the empowerment He gives us to make the choice. I believe the Lord protects us from a lot of danger, and I'm very thankful for it. But I believe the Lord also allows us to make a lot of choices, if thou wilt. So my question this evening for all of us, as we go from this day forward in our life, as we face the things that come against us and the things that may present themselves to us, what decisions are we going to make? If thou wilt. It's going to be in our hands. We're going to have to be responsible for our decisions. The Lord is going to be faithful to us. He's going to be there for us. He's going to stand right there with us. He'll see us through the toughest times that life could present. But we have to make the choice. Think of the song. Maybe we could sing that song. It says, my mind is made up. I got my foot on the rock. Does anybody know the words of that song? May the Lord help us to exercise our right to choose and choose, make it our will to choose the path that God would have us to follow. You pray for me.